Salvation Church, we were sinners, hallelujah, in manifestation, saved by grace in actualization. Amen. Only a sinner saved by grace. But thank God that we had to focus on what? The fact that we were saved, are saved, haven't been saved in eternity. Amen. At this time, amen, without any further ado, as we move forward in our service, everything in the service, the moment that God's people walk into, quote, a building, everything should lead up to the Word of God right now. Everything, the Word of God is the preeminence. Amen. So at this time, we thank God for Deacon Howard Gavin. We know that he's going to be preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. And that's our gospel. Amen. So at this time, without any further, we thank God for the word of the hour, the message of the hour, which is grace, through the messenger. Amen. This is Deacon Howard Gavin. We'll come forward now and give us, share with us the essence of what God did for us in eternity as he brings forth at this moment today, amen, the gospel of the grace of God. Deacon Howard Gavin.
Church, amen. We certainly praising God for being enabled to be with you again to share in his precious word, the proclamation and the reception. Let us pray that we might obtain the help that is awesomely needed. Now, gracious and eternal God, our Father, Lord, we again come to praise you as we are gathered, Lord. You cause us to be together. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness and, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for all the ears in our immediate presence, Lord, that you have assembled to hear your truth. And for those, O God, over our web broadcast production, Lord, that you established in this ministry for the enlightenment of your people. Yes. We pray, Lord, that by your mighty spirit, you will give, my God, comprehension of you, Lord, and your workings. And who we are in Christ Jesus. Lord, according to you, blessed by your spirit, Lord, each and every one, those here and those that are yet making their way, and everyone, Lord, throughout this earth whom you've caused to tune in and to watch in. Yes. We thank you in Jesus' name. Bless us, Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going where we always go to begin. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 for our text verse. Amen. And we will be speaking from God's sovereignty in election to salvation. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. God's sovereignty is absolute right. In election, choice, choosing, selecting. And in the process of selecting, he is also rejecting. Selecting those whom he hath chosen and rejecting those whom he has not chosen. Some unto salvation. Amen. That is the best thing that we have going in all eternity is our having been saved. That's right. Amen. Amen. And our salvation is based on what God has done and not us. What God has performed. You notice I'm using the past tense. Has performed. Amen. Salvation is not up in the air for any of God's people. It is a done deal. We were saved in eternity. It's one thing to speak that, but it's quite another to have it scripturally proven. And today we want to focus on not just our eternal election unto salvation, but we want to focus on also those verses of scripture in the different and various interpretations of the scripture. We want to focus also on those verses of scripture that seem that seem to deny eternal election unto salvation. That seem to reject eternal election to salvation, but yet put the spotlight on man, as Elder Livermore was speaking at his last time before you. Amen. Focusing on synergism, that is man in cooperation with God to effectuate or bring to pass his salvation. No. Salvation is of the Lord. That's even spoken of in the Old Testament writings. And we're going to begin reading again where we always began, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Elder Liverman is our designated reader. Elder, we're going to, as usual, read verses 1 and 2 from the King James Version, and we will then transition to verses 3 through 7 from the interlineal Greek text. Now, we go to the interlineal Greek text because the writer and the compiler of it is held more accountable in that he has the Greek word above the English word. So he can't go on any tangent without making some kind of notation. And we use, amen, the essence of exegesis. Bring out its literary interpretation. And we use it to bring out the literal meaning of what the scriptures are actually conveying. And interpretation. As you know, what is called the New Testament was written in Greek. But in what is called the New Testament, we have, amen, we have the New Testament and we have the Grace Testament. The Grace Testament being the mystery writings of the Apostle Paul that our glorified, resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul by and through revelation to minister to the Grace Church, which is Christ's body. The Grace Church primarily being made up of Gentiles. But yes, those of Jewish ancestry that were assigned to it also, but primarily and predominantly unto Gentiles, wherein the kingdom church was predominantly made up of those of Jewish ancestry and descent. Amen. And yet, according to the Abrahamic covenant, God will bless all nations in Abraham and those descendants of Abraham, Israel in particular. Those Gentiles, as we've seen in the Old Testament scriptures and writings, those Gentiles in blessing that will be joined unto Israel, Rahab, Ruth, amen, and in the New Testament times, Cornelius' household, the Ethiopian eunuch, amen. But they are blessed according to Israel and are subjects of the eternal earth or the eternal kingdom on earth. We are a different group. Our truth is the mystery writings given unto the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church, which is Christ's body. We are not subjects of the kingdom. Our Lord Jesus is not our king. Amen. He is our head, or the head of his body, of which we are members. That is one of the main differences. So, he's not our king, he's our Lord. He's the head of us, being his body. He is our life, he is our existence. He is our all and all. All right, Elder. Let's see what says the scripture. Amen. Now we're going to go to two portions of scripture that seem to disprove or imply that we were not eternally elected or chosen unto salvation. They will be 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, and maybe I'll go up a few verses on that, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, and I will take into context other verses as well. Amen. When studying this Bible, you don't study to be. Amen. We study to know in process, as God has led us and ordained us and given us to study to understand that is God's processes in understanding who we are, who He is, what we have, what we can expect, what's real, what's not real, what's in continuance, and what's temporary. And the list goes on. All right, Ella. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, King James translation.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
By the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
To the saints which are at Ephesus.
Everything is according to God's will. If it's not according to the Creator God, His will, it is not in existence. Everything, every thought, every event, every circumstance, every act, every happening, good, as we call good, or bad, positive or negative, every entity, Satan included, also evil, everything is according to God. He is the one supreme sovereign creator of everything that's in existence. Everything. Every entity. All right, Ella, go ahead on.
Amen. To the which are at Ephesus and to the faithful
and
in Christ Jesus.
To the faithful. That's the only place we are faithful is in Christ. He has to enable faithfulness. We are not faithful in that. All right. Verse 2, Ella.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father.
Grace is God's kindness, His unmerited favor, His extending, praise God, a blessing and benefit and benevolence unto His beloved. Grace and peace from God who?
Our Father.
Our Father. Mm-hmm.
And from the Lord Jesus Christ.
I think I want to say this also. Praise be God. God is continually designated our Father in the first chapter of 13 of Paul's 14 epistles. That is no accident. But God is not a man. He is not flesh. But He is our Father. Our fathers according to the flesh, which God gave us and we to them. They are flesh. We look like them. Many times we act like them. We are configured like them. Many times we think like them. Amen. Sometimes the same character, similar characteristics and habits. I certainly had them of my father. And like them, we die according to the flesh. God, our Father, continually He's called our Father. He is not flesh, but spirit. He is omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipresent, everywhere presence. We can't go anywhere. Nothing is out of the presence of God. You know, in certain punishments, they put people down in holes of confinement. Dig a hole in the earth, put them down there, covered up, and they can't get out sometime. Nothing, nowhere, the center of the earth, the farthest heavens, the deepest ocean, sea, certainly on the face of the earth, nothing is out of the presence of the Almighty Creator, who is our Father. Our God is eternal. Our Father is also eternal. We are His children. The only way that which is not eternal is manifested upon us is us having been placed in bodies of clay and flesh, and therefore our bodies may be having been destroyed. Maybe, meaning whenever. We don't know the exact time, a point, a moment of our exodus from the body. But we being his children, we are spiritual in essence first and foremost. The body is destroyed. We can never. The Almighty Creator, God, Sustainer, all power.
Yes.
We are his children, his beloved. We can never also be destroyed. We are members of the body of Christ. Christ is all and in all. Creation is in Christ. And therefore, we as he can never be destroyed. All right, Elder, read on now. You can go to the interlinear Greek text.
Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 in the interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm. Let me say this first, Elder, before you. We're bringing out seemingly what might be or seem to be elementary, redundant truths to those that know. But we do not know who of God's elect do not know. And this message, this ministering is going out throughout all the earth to God's people. And the Lord will cause those whom he has foreordained to hear and receive, to receive it.
Amen.
So what might seem trivial in one respect, amen. This truth is reaching whomever God has purposed it to be spoken. He has prepared the proclaimer and those that receive that which is proclaimed. God has done that.
Amen.
We are his doings. All right. Go ahead, Ella.
Verse 2.
Mm-hmm. Verse 3.
Verse 3. Blessed the God.
Blessed the God.
And Father.
And Father.
Of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ.
There it is. He's not our king. He's our Lord. He's the head of his body, which is us, the church. The Lord of us. And he names him Jesus Christ. All right. What else, Elder?
The having blessed us.
The singular having blessed us.
Mm-hmm. With every blessing spiritual.
Or in each and every blessing spiritual. Now, why would he bless us in each and every blessing spiritual? Because that is
in the heavenlies in Christ.
That is the essence of our existence. Spiritual, not physical. Our existence speak of eternality. We are only on earth in these bodies temporarily in time, and even that's temporary, time itself.
I hear you.
In Revelation, we see that time, amen, is done away with. We are eternal, spiritual beings first, placed in bodies, just like our Lord. He's eternal in the heavenlies, and he took on a body for purpose, God's purpose. The suffering of death in manifestation. I say manifestation, which means that which we see, that which is revealed to our seeing, our observation, because as corroborative scripture in Revelation 13 and 8, I believe, it says the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything was spoken into existence. Everything. Every event, thought, circumstance, condition, predicament, everything was spoken into existence by the Creator of all things that are. Amen. All right, read on, Ella.
Verse 4.
4.
As he chose us in him.
Now we realize that this verse is controversial. Amen. That's why we give exegesis unto it. As he chose us in him. Now, next question is when? The scriptures fixing to answer that. Read, Ella.
Before foundation of world.
Foundation or creation of world, of universe, of earth, of stars, galaxies, of anything. Before creation, our salvation was fixed. Our salvation is basically us having been sun positioned, which is coming up, in Christ Jesus in eternity. And we were placed in bodies after the creation of time, manifested creation of time, manifested. Because everything is according to a saying. And when time manifested, in our times, we were manifested in bodies. And when that time has come to a cessation, then we will appear where we actually abide, spirit, in the body of Christ, eternal, glorious. That's who we are and what we have, what we are about. Read, Nella.
In him before foundation of worlds.
Yes.
To be us holy.
All right.
And unblemished.
Now I admit that is a present infinitive, and in English we typically put to in front of an infinitive, to go, to do, to be. But it's a present infinitive. Presently. Being. I know that there are no gerunds in the Greek, words ending in ing, but it's still present. Being holy or separated. What, Elder?
Before him in love.
Before whom it counts.
Have mercy.
Yes, others, family, neighbors, associates, those that are over us in the work sector.
Thank God.
They matter. But ultimately, their, amen, concern over or figuration of us does not count. We are separated unto him and before him of whom it ultimately and actually counts. A lot of people are going to say, as have said, a lot of things about you. But all of it comes to an end with time. And with physical creation.
Amen.
Comes to an end. All right. Read on, Ella.
Verse 5. Having predestinated us.
That's right. having predestinated us.
To adoption of sons.
To adoption of son. We were sonship positioned in Christ Jesus in eternity. That's the real us. That's the real us. Many of us, we used to be young and robust, and skin was smooth and unwrinkled, and we had energy and stamina to burn. But that which is not eternally of us is taking its toll and going its route.
Amen.
Maybe having been, the bodies of us, maybe having been destroyed. We have a building of God, the body of Christ, eternal, in the heavens. We are eternal, our actual essence is spiritual, not fleshly. Hallelujah. God's people ought to hear that and be apprised of that. Read on, Ella.
Having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ.
Free. Having predestinated, predetermined, prefixed us to adoption or sonship positioning. What?
Through Jesus Christ.
Through Jesus Christ.
And to him.
To him. To God our Father. That everything, our existence, our all, everything points to Christ. Without Christ, there's no us.
Amen.
Without Christ, there's no existence.
No.
No life. No joy. No glory. No peace. Hallelujah. We are members of his body. All of God's elect. Adam, Eve, Abraham, Moses, children of Israel, Gentiles, joined unto Israel. All of God's elect are eternally blessed. They are blessed on the eternal earth. We are members of Christ's body. God has so favored us. He has sonship positioned us, placed us in the body of Christ. Amen. Verse 7, Ella.
Verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
in whom we have,
in, meaning Christ, in whom we have
the redemption.
All right, we have the redemption
through the blood of him.
Through the blood of him. What else do we have through him, or the blood and the blood of him?
The forgiveness of trespasses.
We have the forgiveness of trespasses. How many of them?
According.
According to
to the riches of the grace of him.
According to the riches of the grace of him. This is what grace is all about. Grace is not grease for us to slide in unnoticed into heaven, the heavenlies. Everybody is saved that is saved or have been manifested saved are saved by grace. But grace was not the dispensation or the dispensational dealing or the covenant that God had with his elect. Amen. With Adam, it was innocence, then conscience after they ate the fruit. With Noah, it was human government, and the Lord told him to build an ark. The ark was a type of, amen, the salvation that's only in Christ. Abraham, the coming out, and the Lord making him father of many nations through faith or faithfulness. And that faithfulness was of God. Abraham lied through his teeth to save his flesh. Don't laugh. Many of us have done the same thing, to save our flesh or to save our pocketbook. Praise be God. But we have been forgiven of all the trespasses. God took care of that eternally. Hallelujah. Amen. So you don't have to duck and shuck, saints of God. Just call on Jesus. Focus on him in each and every or any situation, predicament, or circumstance. Anything. Anything. You don't feel like you doing too well, Lord Jesus, help me. Don't feel like you're going to make it, Lord, according to your will. Something comes before you, oh my God, what is this? Nope. What is this for? He lovingly has placed everything in our pathway. All right. Now, going to two verses today, two primary verses that God's people, God's ministers go to try to disprove eternal election. Now, Ephesians said, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look primarily at verses 1 through 7. 2 Peter chapter 1. Nope. Let's start at verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll begin at verse 3. And I want you to pay special attention to verse 3. Ellie, you can read it from the King James. And if we get down to 10 through 12, then we'll go to the interlinear Greek text. But I want to set the stage of, by going up, I'm contextualizing. Most of God's people go to one verse, pull it out, and say, well, this is what it's saying, when that is not even what the Lord has saying, has spoken unto us. We have to contextualize, we have to take the grammar, and we have to take into account the dispensation and covenant that we are in. We are in the kingdom, the new covenant. And Peter is a kingdom apostle. Amen. He is not a grace apostle, but God's elect are God's elect. All of them are just not, as we are, members of the body of Christ. All of God's workings are in eternity through a scene. Time is only for manifestation or showing or depicting what the Lord has purposed through a one thing. See, we are limited. But God our Father is unlimited. We are limited according to the flesh, I should say. But God our Father is unlimited. He's the eternal spirit. And we being his children, we remember, just like we are like our earthly fathers, we are just like, in actualized essence, our spiritual father too. Just like him. It's just not manifested now. We just don't see it now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. To contextualize, paying special attention to verse 3 as we read down. Read, Ella.
2 Peter chapter 3, chapter 1, beginning with the third verse. King James. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness,
yes,
through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
Hath given unto us, Peter writes, unto his brethren, according to the flesh, predominantly Israel.
Israel.
Amen. Hath given. That is in what we call the perfect tense. Perfect tense is in the Greek. We study the scriptures not to be, for we just read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, we were chosen in him before creation, before the Greek language or any languages, before time, before our mess ups when we were placed in flesh. Are running our parents crazy and getting it back when our kids come up. Before. Everything was done through a saint of God, the unlimited God who is our Father. Everything spoken into existence through one saint. Time was created to manifest God's saying.
Yes.
He had given unto us, given, perfect tense, completed action with the results coming right down to the present. If this, the present was 1738, it come right down to it. If the present is 2513, which hasn't come yet, completed in eternity, that's when it became into existence, coming right down to whenever the present is. And it's in the passive voice. You don't get saved. You don't get blessed according to what you do. God has reserved blessing unto his elect and salvation unto his elect. According as his divine power have given unto us all things. Have given. God did it. Hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, his knowledge unto them. And their truth is the kingdom truth that our Lord Jesus preached and the apostles preached, and those that the Lord sent out, they preached the kingdom gospel unto those to whom it was for. The grace gospel, the mystery, was not even known yet because it was not for them. And those to whom it was for had not been manifested yet. They already were, but they hadn't been manifested. And our truth hadn't been manifested until the Lord's time for its showing, its revealing. All right, read on, Ella.
Life and God, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises.
Again, perfect tense. Completed action in eternity before any flesh was around to help God, to get God's attention, to do something that would cause God to favor them. No. Perfect tense, passive voice. Passive voice speaks again. We did not do it. You know, you're all familiar with a person being active and rambunctious as opposed to being passive. Passive means stuff is always being done to them. Active rambunctious me that they're always doing stuff. The passive voice is here in the Greek. No accident. It speaks that we had nothing to do with, that they had nothing to do with that which was given unto them. The exceeding precious promises, they had nothing to do with them being given unto them. All right, read Ella.
That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature.
That is an aorist subjunctive, a completed probability. Amen. In time it was manifested to whom it would be according to the aorist tense, the completed action of it or the decree of it of God. The probability is to whom it would be manifested to or shown to, or they would, amen, walk in it. Given unto us exceeding great and precious promises by what?
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
That's an eternal act of God. Aorist tense. Completed. Already done. All right. Verse 5, Elder.
Verse 5. And besides this.
Giving all diligence. Even that was determined of God in eternity by the aorist tense. Giving all diligence. All right, read, Elder.
Add to your faith virtue.
That is an eternal command. It's in the aorist tense. It's in the imperative. But it's aorist imperative. Imperative mood is a command. But it's aorist. Before they were even in flesh or before time or before creation of the ages or the universe, God commanded this regarding them. I said God is unlimited. He spoke everything into existence, and then time as well, and he manifested time, the time capsule, to manifest to creation and creatures what he had eternally spoken into existence. God is unlimited. In the flesh, we are limited. God is unlimited. We can only do so much, be so many places at once, do have so much, stand so much. God is unlimited in every aspect, in everything imaginable and beyond imagination. Add. God calls that. They're adding to or not was predetermined. Predetermined. The aorist tense. Read, Ella.
Have mercy. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue.
Add to your faith virtue. It's really in, epsilon ni, but they have here too. That preposition is in, or remaining in. Now it sounds like when the King James Version say add to, it sounds like the Lord is telling them to do something in and of and out of themselves. No! In. Preposition is in, epsilon ni, or remaining in that which God has already performed. God has ordered all of our steps, every one of them, every predicament, every hurt, every trouble, every success, every what we call failure. But the scripture calls us to know from God's word that all things worketh God together for good to those loving him. Not them that love him, but those caused, having been caused to love him. Everything. You lost a job, it's for God's glory. It's good according to our eternal essence and who we actually are. Amen. We got hurt according to God. It is good, because this is not the end of our existence. This is just a manifestation for testimony of what God has purposed. Christ Jesus, he bled, he died, but before that he suffered. They spit on him, beat him, disrobed him. But hallelujah, that was not the end. The ultimate was already in existence. He was glorified. He went through those things for testimony of his suffering for us. But he was glorified. Amen. As I heard, and as this was said, and as actually is, the end and the beginning are one. God spoke everything into existence by a saying. The end, the predicament in between, and the beginning. They are all one according to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are glorified already. Say, well, I won't know it when I go to work tomorrow. That's in temporary manifestation. In actualization, that which is real, that which actually is, you are having been glorified. We are glorified. Read down, Ella.
Verse 6.
All right.
No, verse 5. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge.
All right.
Verse 6.
All right, in virtue knowledge. All right, they are not doing it. We are not accomplishing our salvation. They are not doing these things. It's adding to. They are not doing it. That preposition is in. And the adding is an aorist or an eternal command. God spoke it into existence from eternity. He commanded it. The Almighty God, who is our Father. Never forget that. All right. Verse 6, Elder.
Verse 6. And to knowledge temperance.
And to knowledge temperance.
And to temperance, and patience.
In temperance, patience.
And to patience, godliness.
And in godliness, what next?
And 7, verse 7. Brotherly, and to godliness, brotherly kindness.
Brotherly kindness. Now notice this. Brotherly kindness. Peter is speaking unto those that have obtained or reside in the obtainment. They didn't get it. They didn't obtain it by getting it. They reside in the obtainment of like precious faith with him. As we do, like precious faith have been given us and knowledge that we belong to the Lord and we're members of the body of Christ. He is explaining to those that have like precious faith. And everything that they are receiving was given. They are not getting anything of themselves. All right? Read, Ella.
And to brotherly kindness, charity.
Charity.
For if these things be in you,
all right,
and abound.
If these things be in you, we have the dative case here. Dative case have two aspects. Locative and instrumental. It's not instrumental because they're not doing it. Locative. In the sphere of you. In the midst of you. If these things, one to another, be in you. In the midst of you. What else, Ella?
And abound.
Mm-hmm.
They make you
they,
that ye.
God have assigned them and designed them to cause this effect in his people. This process. All right? Neither
shall neither be barren,
barren,
nor unfruitful,
nor unfruitful
in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
See that? In the knowledge. Now there they did it. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what? Verse 9.
But he that lacketh these things is blind.
But he that lacketh these things is blind and what?
And cannot see afar
off.
That also is aorist. If he can't see and have forgotten, God has determined or decreed that also. This week gone, we were in our doctrinal conference. And me with my forgetful self, I ran off from home trying to get here and left the document that I was supposed to read from. But I showed up. In forgetfulness, I left the document. Our pastor, Pastor George Cutler of the Grace Gospel Church and Ministry, he said unequivocally and immediately decreed. absolutely right. Decreed. God has predetermined in a saying everything into existence. You ran off and got your key, forgot your keys. House locked, you got to call somebody to let you in. Decreed. You ran off and lost your purse or left your money. Decreed. This is not the end of us. Amen. Ultimately, we are blessed, eternally blessed, glorified, glorified. This is not the end of us. This is only manifestation of what God has determined for testimony to show us the inability of the flesh and to cause us to focus on Him, because we can't of ourselves. God has determined and designed the predicaments of life to cause us to focus on Him. We don't have it. And away from flesh and away from self-dependency, we're not sufficient of ourselves in no way. Amen.
Amen.
That's
right.
Read that one. Verse 9. Go ahead to verse 10 from the Interlinear Greek text, Ella. Mm-hmm.
Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 10,
yes,
in the Interlinear Greek text.
Greek text.
Wherefore, rather, brethren, be ye diligent.
That word rather is in greater degree or better or more. And it speaks of them as brethren. They are already brethren by common origin. Brethren. They are in Christ. They are of the kingdom, the eternal kingdom on earth. Brethren, do what?
Be of ye the calling.
It says here in the King James Version, give diligence. That is an aorist imperative. God has spoken their diligence into existence. And what else? Making your calling
and choice.
They don't make their calling and choice. Go back up to verse 3. According as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power. Perfect tense. Completed in eternity through a saying and manifesting it in time. So God is not going to have Peter get down here in the later of the verses and flip it as though they are doing something or they have to get something. Same thing with us. He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That is the essence of our eternal salvation and abode in Christ. It stands. You don't add anything to it. You don't get saved. We were chosen. We were saved. And by the way, we are also saved. Go to verse 11, Ella.
Verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
For so richly will be supplied to you,
all right,
the entrance unto the eternal kingdom.
Having been, aorist indicative and passive voice, have been ministered or supplied unto them. It's already done. Uh-huh.
The eternal kingdom of the Lord of us,
yes,
and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Finish with verse 12, Ella.
Verse 12. Wherefore,
mm-hmm,
I will tend always,
yes,
you to remind,
mm-hmm,
concerning these things,
mm-hmm,
though knowing and having been confirmed.
Having been confirmed, perfect tense.
In the present truth.
In the present truth. They were confirmed in their truth, the kingdom gospel.
Yes.
That was what God determined in eternity. So wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Those were already done. God had already done that. Their diligence is an aorist imperative. God did that. The making, amen, of them, your calling and election. Peter said up in verse 3, God hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. There is no such thing as them, amen, doing anything, and you and me doing anything, amen, to confirm or complete our eternal salvation. Now, Ella, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I know we won't finish, but I'll end there. I just want to get down to verses 1 and 2 of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Go ahead with the King James, because I'm going to contextualize again. We have the habit of taking verses out of context and running with them without exegesis knowing what the verse is actually teaching. God's people were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. We are complete in Him. There is nothing else, amen, that we need. Christ is all and in us all. Do you have 1 Corinthians, Ella?
Yes, 1 Corinthians.
I'll tell you what, Ella, begin reading. Back up to verse 26. I want to get the context in here. We're going to skip around. We're going to skip down, that is. But I just want to get the gist of the context. Start reading at verse 26 of the 14th chapter, Ella.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning with the 26th verse. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation.
Yes.
Let all things be done unto edifying.
All things done unto building up the body in each individual member. All right, verse 27 and 28.
If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret.
Yes.
But if there be no interpreter,
yes,
let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God.
You notice the restriction that Paul puts on these things, tongues and the like. Amen. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Go over to verse 7, 37. Elder.
Verse 37.
If
any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
Yes, 38.
But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant.
If he's going to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. He is speaking to brethren and sisters in the church according to their conduct in worship, not according to salvation. All right, 39 and 40, Ella, before we enter
39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues.
And don't forbid for them to speak in tongues. However,
let all things be done decently and in order.
Decently and in order. Now let's go in to chapter 15, of which there were no divisions of chapters and verses in the original writings. Let's go into chapter 15 now. This is a scripture that men, God's people, take to speak against eternal election, that anybody can be saved. Whosoever will, let him come. Those that come were pre-chosen, preordained to come. We were, all of us, chosen in Him before creation of the world and certainly before this. 15 and 1, Elder.
15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with the first verse.
First verse.
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel.
I'm making known unto you the gospel.
Which I preach unto you.
Which I preach unto you, that was not Paul's doing in and of and out of himself. That is in the aorist tense. Him preaching was foreordained of God. And not only his preaching, but you've heard me allude to this. What else, Elder?
Which also ye have received.
Which also you receive. That is also an aorist indicative, and it's according to the predetermined will and purpose of God. Paul preaching it, and they receiving it. If you have spoken of many of your friends, elders, co-workers, family members, and the like, you minister according to that which God has given you, and they receive according to God's will and predetermined purpose for them to receive what you are giving unto them. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Whether it's in the home or abroad or throughout the earth, as with this webcast ministry, God has given the proclaimer and those whom the proclamation will have its effect. The preaching was preordained. The reception was preordained. And what else? And wherein ye stand. That was preordained. You don't have to worry about getting out of Christ. Conduct is very important. It's ultra important for testimony. Testimony is evidence of who we are. It does not make us who we are. It only speaks to who we are. Conduct, testimony, evidence. And God has to direct, uphold, overrule our depravity to cause us to walk in appropriate conduct. We are His doings, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God previously prepared, Ephesians 2 and 10, which God previously prepared that in them, that is the good works, we may walk, having walked. May in time. Sometime you'll walk in the good works, and some according to God's purpose and preordination for your walk, and sometime we will not walk in the good works. All according to God's preordained purpose.
Yes,
amen. Everything is according, as you hear us say many times, according to God.
Yes.
All right. Verse 2, Elder.
Verse, by which also ye are saved.
Let me say this. The preaching and the reception, heirs and perfect tense, according to God. So, now Paul says, by which what? Read this from the interlinear Greek text, Elder. You have it, verse 2? From the interlinear Greek text.
Yes. First Corinthians chapter 15,
mm-hmm.
verse 2, in the interlinear Greek text.
All right.
Ye receive, in which also ye stand.
All right.
Through which also ye are saved.
Your salvation is in the passive voice.
To what word?
Present tense.
I preach.
Passive voice.
To you, if ye hold fast,
uh-huh.
except unless in vain ye believe.
All right. Let me get in it. Through which also, the preaching which was preordained, the standing or being caused to stand is also preordained. In which also ye are saved. That is a present indicative or a present fact. An indicative mood is a fact. They are saved. You don't get saved, you are always saved. It is always, amen, a fact, your salvation. Even before we knew it, when we were doing whatever, when we were thinking whatever, when we were indulging in whatever, mentally or physically, if we belong to the Lord, we have eternally belonged to Him. We have eternally been caused to stand. You don't have to. God has done that.
Amen.
It's eternally done. Everything is eternally done, finished, completed. If you were chosen in Christ, there's no way you can be unchosen. It was completed in eternity. Not started. It was completed. Our salvation. It's a done deal. You belong to Christ and nothing else. Nothing. Nothing can change that. Nothing can change who you are. Nothing can change what you have eternally. Nothing can change the glory which shall be revealed in us. You're saved. To what word? King James got, if ye keep in memory. You're not saved by the strength of your memory, because we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Our memory has nothing to do with our salvation. Our memory, God either calls to focus on, or he allows to forget according to who we are and our purpose course in this walk in the flesh, in the capsule of time. It does not determine in any way our eternal abode in Christ. Our sonship position, having been sonship position in Christ. Amen. To what word I preach. The preaching was foreordained in eternity. Aorist tense. Preach to you. If ye hold fast, unless in vain ye believe. Aorist indicative, passive voice. If ye hold fast according to your walk, and don't forget who you are, who you belong to, whose you are. Hallelujah. Aorist indicative and the passive voice. God is the determinant cause of all. Whether we do well or he does not overrule our depravity, and when sin is manifested. For God's purpose. For God's purpose. If God allow us to go on in life, in this walk in the flesh, with no glitches, with no bounces, with no losing ground, we would be a stink in the nostrils of God. Wouldn't anybody be able to stand us? And we wouldn't be able to stand anybody. But our righteousness is of him. God's perfect order. Our righteousness is of Christ. He's the only perfect one. He's the only one. If you see someone that's doing well in Christ, and you see someone else, even yourself, that is fumbling and stumbling along the way, they're doing well is according to God. And your stumbling and bumbling is according to God. He does not overrule our flesh, depraved nature, in all cases. So when we are manifested in glory, conscious-wise, when these bodies are destroyed, when we are manifested in glory, the one that thought or might have thought that they were their own salvation by what they did and how well they did, their mouths are going to open. I'm speaking in a human vernacular. They didn't know it was the righteousness of Christ that held them. The one that stumbled most or all of their life, when they are manifested conscious-wise in glory, they are going to, in humble rejoicing and thanksgiving, God will be glorified in every instant, in every aspect of his creation, in our well-doing and in our not-so-well-doing. God will be glorified. By grace we are having been saved through faithfulness, and you know it's not ours, the faithfulness of Christ, his perfect righteousness, his perfect faithfulness. He is our life, he's our existence, he's our all and all. Be encouraged, saints. You're not trying to make it in. You're not coming up on the rough side of the mountain. You are in Christ, eternal. God bless you.